Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I am the host of Dice Exploder, the Emmy-nominated podcast all about RPG design right here on the Many-Sided Network. And after years of interviews and ideation with some of the best designers in RPGs, my first print game is coming to Kickstarter. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes, a John Wick-inspired game about getting your bloody revenge. Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a game about standing in the shadow of a skyscraper in the pouring rain, bathed in bubblegum neon and someone else's blood, staring down at the man who ruined your life all those years ago, raising the barrel of a gun and asking, "Will you pull the trigger?" Band-Aids and Bullet Holes is a one-shot capsule game box set deck builder RPG, and you can follow it right now on Kickstarter. Back Band-Aids and Bullet Holes on May 5th.
Something that I don't know about, so...
Okay. Yeah, this isn't interesting enough to be... Fine.
Doesn't matter. If it's not, then it gets cut. And if it is, then that's fine.
Okay. Well, the Amazing Digital Circus.
Yeah.
It is... It's an animated web series that is a retelling of I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream.
Oh, okay.
Where it's a bunch of people trapped in a kind of video game. We don't know what it is or why they're trapped there. It's these five people who are all there for, like, again, they can't really remember anything about their about the outside world, but they know that they're in there and they know that they're trapped. And the host of this game slash, you know, show is an AI who is trying to keep their minds engaged, because if they get too depressed slash not engaged enough, there's a thing that happens which it's abstract. They become abstracted and they become this like weird amalgamation Eldritch Horror thing. It's almost over. The last episode is coming out next month. It fucking rules. It's been coming out for like 2 years. It actually, and this
and
is kind of...
And you said the last
episode is coming
out. Is coming out? Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay. This is kind of what this is all leading to. People who have watched the show may have already gathered, but I'm such a... friend of mine was like, "Hey, you should really watch this show. I don't think you'd like it, but I really love it. And I just started watching it last week. You should watch it." I was like, okay. And we watched it together. And then I went so insanely feral over it, because it has... So episode one is lightly has been Hotel vibes, which is why I was like, I'd watched the first episode before and I didn't like it. And I was like, yeah, I don't like it because I don't like that type of humor. But then episode two, it also isn't. There's a vibe of it.
There's a vibe, not necessarily that it's like that. Yeah.
Yeah. But because it's like the characters are kind of stereotypes, archetypals of, like, you know, those standard adult animation type characters. And then episode two, it makes it very abundantly clear, like, that's the point. The point is that all of these characters are archetypes, and the point is that it makes you think, oh, this is just one of those other shows, and then it very quickly devolves into, no, it's not. This is actually fucking amazing. Again, my friend was like, "You're not going to like this." However, I liked it so much, and I've gone so crazy. Again, people who are watching on video might have already guessed. So this is official merch from it that arrived today. I've got
Oh my God.
I'm head to toe dripped out in the Amazing Digital Circus merch. I was gonna buy I think it was $150-$200 varsity jacket of my favorite character, who's the AI, but they had sold out, so I couldn't. And I was sad about it.
Wow.
It's such a good show that, and it's fun as well. I didn't like it. Viddy talked to me about it, because Viddy was like, "Oh, have you seen the Amazing Digital Circus? I think you'd really like it." And I was like, "No, I watched the first episode. I thought it was kind of trash." He was like, "Oh, that's really surprising. It seems like directly your thing."
Wow.
And then my friend was like, "Hey, you should watch it." And I was like, "Okay, fine." And then I was like, "Wow, this is my thing," because it's a It is a sci-fi cerebral horror.
Yeah, like, which is exactly is everything awesome. That you like.
I love
all the
this
time.
Shit so much.
Yeah,
it's like so. Everyone. There are five living people in the world in the series, and then there's the AI who is sentient, so is essentially a character. But the horror comes in episode two where they need to do these quote unquote adventures to keep their minds active. So Kane, who is the AI, makes these very elaborate adventures for them to go on. And because it's a video game, there's like glitches and shit. And there is an NPC and the protagonist, Pomni, who's the big clown on the back.
Yeah.
Where they hit, they're driving a truck and they hit a, it's like a cliff that's at an angle and they like, glitch and like fall through the world as the car starts going, you know, like in a video game when something hits an angle really weird and everything goes odd.
Yeah.
And they fall through the world, and then there is this whole scene of this NPC being like, am I not real? And then freaking out about it and having this real like realization, like, oh my god, but I have a whole life. And then being like, oh, but I can't remember any of it. I just know that I have it. There's this whole thing. And it's the fucking best. It's so good. Anyway, the finale's next month. It gets really dark.
I bet. No, there's
I just
some,
love it so much.
Just even
it's just
so the
good.
Concept
because
alone.
it is I have no mouth and I must scream. Like
right.
The AI doesn't realize that they're torturing these people. They think, no, I'm keeping you here and I'm keeping your minds active and it thinks it's a good guy. And then it's the realization of like, well, these people fucking hate me. And if they hate me and they think I'm their torturer, then let's just do it. And it's the best.
Oh,
it's so
my
good.
God.
It's so good. It's so good. And it's really short. It's like seven at the minute. It's seven 20-minute episodes, and there's going to be an hour-long finale that is in theaters that I'm like, God, do I go to
yes,
the theater
the
and watch
yes.
it in theaters?
Yeah. Yes.
It is, yes.
Of course.
And it's like, the thing is, this is it's an adult animation, but it is like very teenage fan base. I don't know if I want to be in a theater like, you know, with the audience that this show's for. Even though the theater performance is 2 weeks ahead of general release, so you can go and you can see it in person 2 weeks ahead of schedule, and then it's going to release on YouTube 2 weeks later. So
don't go
you get
alone to the theater.
Oh, no, I won't. But then, obviously. But then it's like, because Vinny was like, oh, if you're in New York at the time, we can both go together.
Yeah.
Kai, my housemate, was like, hey, if you want, we can go. Like, we can go because my friend showed it to me. I immediately went back and rewatched the whole thing with Kai.
And
Kai's like,
and
this is
both of them
amazing.
Have teenage spirits. So whoever you
do.
Go with, it'll be fine.
They
like,
both
you'll
have
be...
Weezer spirits. They're teenage dirtbags. Yeah.
Yeah.
What? How? What?
Weezer spirits?
Yeah, is that not Teenage Dirtbag?
No.
Which one is that?
No, Teenage Dirtbag is, if I'm not mistaken, oh god, it's not, it's like a one-hit wonder kind of, it's Weedus. It's Weedus.
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 Wow, do you know what's so
who I know nothing else by, so maybe they're not a one-hit wonder, but I certainly don't know anything else that they've done.
Wow, do you know what's so crazy?
What?
I don't know anything Weezer has done then.
You do.
Every single time people have been like, oh, it's Weezer, I've been like, the Teenage Dirtbag people. And I've just known that as fact. That's so
the
crazy.
The sweater
because,
song.
Oh, Buddy.
Buddy Holly, the
Buddy
sweater
Holly.
Song.
Wow.
You probably know the sweater
song.
Their
names are too similar.
Yeah.
They should
and I agree. And I agree.
They should
and they should fight to the death.
Well, and I think one of them already has, unfortunately.
Oh, well, sure. Do it again.
What?
Open the simulation.
Sure. That's Buddy
that
Holly.
One. You got it.
Wow, it's not the same person.
No.
That's so crazy.
No.
Fascinating. eagle-eared listeners will know that I'm ill. This is true.
Which I think is funny because I know that I have been audibly ill on this podcast like 3 or 4 times. It's your turn. It's your turn. It's just simply your turn to be
what
audibly
sucks is
miserable.
I don't get ill, and I know that is hyperbole. But it's I truly don't. Like, in terms of, like, I get hungover, obviously, but in terms of
Robin does
airborne,
not get, like,
getting a cold, getting
illness.
Like, yeah. I just don't. However, it turns out if I do get ill, it kills me.
Yeah.
I have been ill since Sunday.
Yeah.
It is currently Friday.
Yeah.
I have barely slept. I've had to skip the gym every time. My PT today was like, no, don't come in. Said, in his words, it's a 3 out of 10 decision for you to come in.
Yeah, which was generous, I think. Yeah, that.
And I was so like, I need. Did we just talk about this on the phone? Or was I talking about that with Haley? I think it was us. No, I think it was me and Haley. Where I was like, it's my routine.
Oh,
I go to the gym
sure.
3 times a week, Monday,
yeah,
Wednesday,
and
Friday.
Yeah, and you've gotten into the routine and you don't want to break
and
it
it's
because
throwing me so hard and
I get
just,
that.
It's stressing me out. And also it makes me leave the house and and I was like, surely exerting energy is going to be good. It's going to be like my body is going to release the endorphins that will fix me. Turns out that's not true.
Yeah.
That's not how it works, even though it should be. On the new human patch, hopefully it would work. On the next update of humanity, it would be like, exercising just kind of cures illness.
Yeah, exercising prevents you from getting sick. The actual apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Doctor away, it'll
works.
Be real. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be so real. It would be so great. It would be so awesome.
Could you not say ill, actually, whilst I'm here? It's really upsetting and triggering for me right now.
No. Facts over feelings. Your
facts over feelings. That is ill.
Toughen up, snowflake.
If I was to say that's sick, it means that it is sick. Yeah. That is a fact.
That's a fact.
That is a fact. Oh. But I've been playing a lot of video games this week, which is good, I guess.
I love that.
Yeah. I say that like it's different from, you know, my other life and days, but
no, I know. You get, I am significantly jealous of your video game time because truthfully, Dork Spawn has become my video game time. So there which I am not sad about, don't get me wrong. This is like it's great. It's one of the most fun things that I do with my life. But
no, I get it.
I truly don't have time to play other video games. Most of the time. I will occasionally, squeeze in my cozy gaming a little bit. Like, I can squeeze in Coral Islands or Spiritfarers and, like, stuff that's, like, low commitment comfort gaming.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Dork Spawn is my video game time, which is why we're here right now, because I do need to play more Mass Effect Andromeda tonight. And in order to do that, we need to record.
That's so interesting. Okay, first of all, hello, my name is Robin. I've played 3 Mass Effect games.
Hi, my name is Dylan. I've also played 3 Mass Effect games.
And this is Dorkspawn, a video game book club. Video game book. Oh, yeah, it is a video game book club. Yeah, where
you're
play
right.
Video games chapter by chapter. I don't know why that threw me so much. Where we play video games chapter by chapter. This week, we did 3 missions. We investigated, the main hub of the world.
Yeah, hang tight.
I'm hanging.
Da 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 do 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 do. Oh, where's the transcript?
It's the Nexus.
Yeah. Sorry. So the three missions, I forget the names of the first two.
So it's the prologue / Hyperion, planet side, what we did the first time. And now we've done Nexus Reunion, First Strike, and A Better Beginning.
First Strike.
So it is stuff on the Nexus and then Eos, where we went to.
Yeah.
Did some fun stuff there. So, that's kind of it. That's what we did. Talk to me about your time.
I have notes. I have so many notes. And I'm looking at my first page of notes. And so, okay. All right. I have a lot of thoughts about this game. Some good, some bad, some middling. Many middling, I think. But what I will say is that I am so excited to be playing a video game. I feel so, like, even just looking at my first page of notes, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this was all in the same, like,
I know, I have so, like, many pages of notes. I've just
of stuff. There's stuff here that I don't, and it's like, I feel like I played, like, the same amount of hours that I always play in a week of a video game that we're doing.
Yeah.
But I feel like so much stuff happened. Like, there's just so much stuff that happened. Okay. I feel like it's going to be easier for me to talk about my, like, overall, like, feelings if we, like, get into, like, what's happening. So the very first thing that after we come back from Planet Side and we resolve that first thing with the planet that was supposed to be our golden planet, which is called
Habitat 7.
When we come back from that and Dad is dead and we have a AI in our head and all of that stuff. The first thing after you're made Pathfinder is they're like, okay, well, you're the Pathfinder now. You have to go to the Nexus, which is the space station where everybody has been waiting for these ships to arrive to start finding our home.
Or less, the assumption is that everyone will then begin to arrive into the Nexus.
It's like, okay,
that's
well.
That's the place that everyone is going to meet. Yeah.
Right. And the idea is, like, everybody's like, okay, Habitat 7 didn't work out, but
let's go
we
check
still
in.
Made it. We like, the Nexus is here. Like, let's go.
Celebration is going to happen.
Yeah. Right. So we go. We take the tram. We load up onto the Nexus. We take the tram to the main hub. It's dark. There's no one here. The place is totally ghosted. And then we, like, just find one guy, like, working alone on a computer panel or whatever. And he's like, what? We thought you guys all died.
Yeah.
We thought every single ship died. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, wait, this is actually huge revolutionary news that you exist and that there's a Pathfinder here and that a ship did make it. So this guy introduces us to, brings us back to base where we meet a hot Turian with a voice mod that I am getting used to, but initially,
you know what's so interesting? All of the Turians have a voice mod because no one can do Garrus's natural voice.
I know.
And that is what it is.
I know.
No
that's
one's
what it
able
is.
To do his voice and they're like, but everyone liked Garrus because he sounded really hot. Well, then let's just kind of make everyone slightly gravelly with this fucking voice mod that we're putting on all the actors.
Didn't need to do it. Still hot, just questionable voice mod that I'm starting to get used to.
Yeah.
We also meet Hot Krogan Lady.
Yes.
Into Hot Krogan Lady. And we meet Camille Nanjiani Salarian.
So fascinatingly.
The most perfect casting I've ever seen in my fucking life.
It's just crazy because clearly he's a video game guy because he was just in Fallout Season 2.
Yeah.
So, like, and it was in this, did not know that he was going to be in this.
Yeah.
Very crazy.
It's incredible. They do put a voice mod on him They did not need to. He has the most Solarian voice I've ever heard.
He is a Solarian. Absolutely.
At natural, that man is a Solarian. It's actually fucking perfect.
Tahn, I believe his name is. It's Tahn.
Tahn, yeah. Tahn. Director Tahn.
We also do meet Addison.
We do meet Addison. I was super rude to her. I wrote down, I was a bit rude to Addison. And then I, with a big line in the middle, I wrote, after I had taken more notes, I did it again! Exclamation point. I don't like her. I don't care for her.
Yes, she's not very nice to you in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's not nice to me. And I am, okay, so I've really committed to the character that I am playing as well, which is just like, I have a job to do. It is very clear. My father was doing it. Now I am doing it.
Cool.
Why is not everybody on board? This is the chain of command. Like, I have been given this job. Why is not everybody on fucking board? So yeah, trouble between me and Addison.
So what is revealed is that all these other ships got here 14 months ago. Every single Golden World isn't real. All of them are fake. And their food supplies are dwindling. There was several murders and rebellions in the time.
Right. Well, the rebellion is a big... Well, also, is it not that a bunch of the ships also got caught in that, kind of...
The Scourge is what they decided to call it.
The Scourge, right. Yeah, people got caught in the Scourge. But also, the Golden Planets aren't promising.
The Quarians died really early on. It turns out that there was...
Oh, yes. There was a Quarian
community,
ship.
But then it's also said in this game. Because apparently this was supposed to be a DLC, but the game performed so poorly, they just turned it into a book instead. With the Quarians... it's not Ket, it's the Drell.
Yeah.
Volus, all those types. They were all on one ship because they couldn't get the numbers to do one ship, so everyone else is on another ship. That got stuck halfway, and then what we know from meta is that they put a huge amount of immune-compromised a species on board of one ship. Obviously, illness ravaged the ship and killed everyone.
But so all these people are here. Their rebellion happened because basically once the planets were decidedly inhospitable and there was no Pathfinder, basically like a decision was made to kind of do nothing and to like kind of put the entire search for a new homeland on hold. Like, a lot of people were continuously kept in cryo because obviously they didn't have food to feed these people. And so people rebelled and went and decided
specifically
to rebel
Krogan rebelled. The Krogan all rebelled. They were the ones to do it. Also mainly because so the top seven leaders died.
I thought the Krogan were used to squash the rebellion.
No, the Krogan all did a mutiny and they all left. It's why there's only one Krogan aboard.
Okay.
The leader.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, there's also a thing where. Okay. Never mind then.
No, go on.
There was also a thing where somebody said in a dialogue recently where they were a human member of the rebellion and they were like, they said something that made me think I misread something where they were like, I got hunted down by Krogan for rebelling or something like that. I don't know. It was an offhanded like NPC. So it might not, it might just be a throwaway thing, but anyway, yeah, this rebellion happens.
No, sorry. Okay. Rebellion happens. Krogan squash the rebellion.
They do.
The Krogan squash it because they're told that they would be given control, more control If they help squash the rebellion, they weren't given control.
That is right. Okay.
So then they did a mutiny. And then that's the second rebellion that happened. Mm.
Yes, yes. Okay. Yes, yeah. Good.
So there's two rebellions. So the top seven leaders all died in rebellion number one.
Power has changed hands. Eight times.
Tarn, who is nicknamed Eight by the Krogan leader, her, interestingly, name is Kosh. Kosh? Yeah, Kosh.
Yep.
Kesh. You can. Kesh, is it?
Kesh.
It's because my handwriting is so.
No, it's okay. It's interesting because I really like Kesh as a character so far.
I also really do. Interesting way they got around the Genophage also is you talk to them about the Genophage. You can do that.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, what we did is we got people to like hyperpower our, genes and immunity for the Genophage. So then in the 600 years that it took, it has they've built up, their bodies have naturally built up a really strong immunity to it. They're not immune to the Genophage. They've just have a far higher. It's gone
they're
from
still
like
having a
every
high...
1 in 1,000 to like 1 in 600 or something.
Yeah. They're so still having a high rate of infertility, but they're.
But that's an interesting way to go around it.
Yeah.
Which I think is fun. Anyway.
Yeah.
The leader. Tarn, who they call Eight, is a Salarian who is deeply, deeply racist about Krogans. And
a lot of people being shitty about Krogans, which I have a lot of notes about.
Yeah, we're just doing this old dance again, and I'm a little sick of it, but it's
this
fine.
Whole dance.
There's a lot of cool. Oh, also, talking to Kesh is crazy. Because Kesh says something that I think is an insane thing to say about a genocide. Because you talk to them about the genophage and the genocide. And Kesh says, the Salarians made it. The Turians
perfected
set it off.
It.
They set it off. The Turians set
off.
Oh, they
set
genophage,
it off, right.
But the Salarians built it in the first place. And she says, you can't really blame them. And it's like, huh. That's crazy. You can't blame them for causing a genophage on your people. That's a deeply interesting thing to say.
Oh, right. I forgot that she said that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I just wrote down, she says, can't blame them, which is a crazy thing to say about the genocide of your people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just a couple of very little things during, like, the first exploration on the Nexus. First of all, the Nexus is like mostly shut down. They have not this space station at first is like completely barren in places. There are only a few places for you to go in the first place. It's still like being set up. There are like crates kind of everywhere. It's a mess. But I do go back to see another welcome video from the innovator of the program. Jean Garçon, I want you to know I was having a bad pain day when I was playing this part of the game, and I was a little bit medicated, and Vidi and I were hanging out while I was playing it in bed, and I kept saying Garçon, and I thought it was so funny. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was so hysterical, and I even thought it made sense where I was like, she's picking the planets for us like your garçon would pick your meals. like she was seating us at a table, at the perfect table at the restaurant. Anyway, I thought it really made sense and really worked. And I wrote in all caps in my notes here, garçon with the little tilde over the O.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy.
Other thing is I wrote this down and I don't remember if it's from a codex or a piece of dialogue, but we find out that Dr. Liara Tassani's work is extremely controversial.
I didn't know about the controversial. I know that she has a pretty major part in this thing because she spoke to your dad a lot.
She spoke to our dad a lot. And, that's right, because I speak to
Sam?
Nope.
Oh.
And it's not PD.
Describe them.
It's another...
Oh, it's another Asari.
Asari lady, the doctor.
Sure.
The doctor.
Who?
No. The doctor on the ship, whose name is escaping me, but we'll figure it out, I think is who tells me this, but tells me that my father spoke and corresponded with Dr. Liara Tassani. I find correspondence in like Sam's portal and in my like access to files and stuff. But I think she is the one that tells me that her work is considered very controversial. And not really like legitimate science.
That's
which
so
is
interesting.
Funny because like these are people who would have last encountered her work when we had met her essentially. So before she ever like if I have the timeline.
I mean
right,
even so the last thing that she did was in Mass Effect 2 before the Reapers were even confirmed to be real.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right. All of that, like, we say early work, but that was, like, her entire long lifetime of work.
Yeah.
Before she met Shepard and went and encountered the tech for real is, like, what we're talking about. So I thought that was really fun, interesting. So now we do the first touchdown on go.
Did you do anything else? Did you do any side missions?
I did a bunch of side missions. You go first.
I found out that Cora is an Asari commando.
Oh yeah, I did. I found that out a little bit later because I don't like her because she doesn't like Krogan either, and so I'm not.
Oh, I don't have her on my team. It was just as I was selecting a teammate, it says Asari commando, and I was like, "That's really interesting. I wish I liked you enough to have you on my team to learn more." Kendros, who's the hot Turian with the voice mod, is cousins with Nyrene, who is the first female Turian in Mass Effect, who's on Omega, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
I love tiny connections like that. I haven't finished it yet, begun to solve the first murder in Andromeda, which is a guy, another Turian, killed his commanding officer, who was also his best friend, and they have declared it a murder, but you have reopened the case because his wife is like, it literally doesn't make any sense, and then you've opened the case and had looked at it, and I'm like, well, I mean, it does make sense.
So the only reason I didn't bring this up is because part of it, you need to actually go on EOS to
you need to
to
go
solve.
On EOS to do it.
Yeah. But I do want to talk about that. So this guy, this Turian, is accused of killing his commander because he disagreed with the orders he was being given. Because the orders were to like rush in and attack
fight the Kett.
That's who we fought on Habitat 7.
This is our
ever-present enemy, as far as we know of in this game. And so the thought is that he killed his commander because he disagreed with this order, didn't want to risk his life, didn't want to die out there, killed his commander, and lied about it, whatever. his story is that he thought it was Keth out there, and the visibility was low, and he shot, and he didn't mean to kill the guy.
Yeah.
We go, we investigate there. We go talk to Tan, who is like, I did a whole fucking trial. I've already done it. Why are you doing this to me? Yeah. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but it's just like, it's weird.
It just doesn't make any
sense.
It
doesn't
it's
add
so
up.
Weird.
And I, yeah. I want to.
Your
find
evidence
out more.
Is wrong. You basically.
Evidence is wrong. Like, and he's like, fine, look into it or whatever. Tell me what you find, but I don't like you right now for doing this to me. And I'm like, okay, fine. So I go down to Eos. And we'll get to like the big stuff on Eos, but the one of the many things that you can do on Eos is look for the commander's body for missing pieces to the evidence, because some of the evidence is like audio testimonies and recordings from their like cameras in the field and stuff like that. But that's all like incomplete and grainy or whatever. You get the thing off of the commander and you hear audio that proves that he absolutely did try to kill him, but it was a Ket's bullet that shot and killed him. He missed because of low visibility. So yeah, he didn't kill him, but he tried to, and then expressed disappointment that he didn't succeed audibly on mic. And so then you go to you go to Tan after this, and you're like, here's what happened. And well, first you can go confront him about it. And he's like, and he tries to explain. He's like, I mean, he has kind of a
reasonable got a
response.
Point.
He's
like,
just like, I didn't want to die.
Is like, and he's like,
yeah,
it was one guy over five because he was like, we were all going to run in. There was low visibility. We weren't prepared. Every single one of us was going to get killed.
Correct.
But then I shot him, and then we were able to pull back. And it's like, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's sure. It sucks, but whatever.
Absolutely. I, Dylan, agree. But we go talk to...
This is...
We go talk to Tan.
In, I guess.
And Tan is like... And Tan is like, we've already had a trial. We've already made a decision. And frankly, this barely changes the outcome of that.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like evidence that he's innocent. It's evidence that he's a bad shot. It's not like it does not really like.
That's so fun. Do you get the option to not tell him the whole truth? You have the option to lie and be like, yeah, he didn't shoot him. It was a cat that shot him.
No, you don't have that option.
That's
you have the option to tell him straight up, we have to pardon him, essentially. It's either we have to pardon him or we continue with the original plan, which was exile. And I'm like, okay, well, I frankly think that like this is kind of a Law and Order character who I think if this had been more of like he was completely innocent, absolutely would have been not doing this. We're throwing this trial out. But the fact that he admitted to wanting to kill him, trying to kill him, and actually shooting at him with the intent to kill him was like, no, it's got to be exile.
Yeah, it's reason enough. Yeah.
So that's one thing. I also there was a possible. We meet a character, Raj, who's like working on a bit of like malfunctioning tech on the ship.
Yeah,
and is like saying that a bunch of like these.
The ship is
panels.
Being sabotaged actively.
Yeah, that's his suspicion. He's saying like it's like a bunch of wiring going wrong, all in these different key places. Something is wrong. So I investigate that. I had to do this three different times because I encountered a glitch where the third one would not populate for me.
Oh, annoying.
Bless you to people who post on Reddit about glitches. I fixed it. We got it. Once you get to the third one, Raj is like, I've tracked it. Unfortunately, it's going to, and I forget the other character's name. It's a female character, another woman.
Yeah, on our ship.
On our ship.
Because the first one's on the Nexus, and then it leads to our ship. It leads to Hyperion.
Yes. Yes. I thought I was mixing two things up again. But anyway, but he's like, but that can't be. Like, I don't want it to be her, which this whole thing is cute. And so then you go and confront her. And she says kind of the same thing. She's like, I've been tracking this. I've been tracking it, and it all points to Raj, but I don't believe that either. Yeah. Like, it can't be Raj. He would never do this. And so you're like, okay, cutie pies. Is it a third party? And they're like, it's gotta be a third party.
It can't be.
It can't be either of us. We clearly love each other. Anyway, you go and get Sam helps you get the description of, or like a partial description. You get some like some feedback, and then you go scanning people until you find a possible match, and then you find the person, this guy. You confront him, and he tells you that, yeah, fuck you, I've been doing it because I lost people in we all lost people in the rebellion.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever, go to jail, I guess. Like, yeah, I'm off. Just like, get out of here. Like, that was the end of that.
That's fine. I exiled him. I didn't submit him to judgment.
Oh, okay.
You can like put him in front of all the leaders of the Nexus, or you can exile him. And I was like, just get the fuck out of here. If I see you again, that's not good. But again, my guy's very like, I don't like confrontation. Like, I don't want to be doing stuff like that, because he's very not a leader, and was like, just leave, please.
Yeah.
He was like, and then the guy, if you do that, he's like, really? It's like, yeah, just go. And he's like, okay, that's fine. I can do that. Oh. I was expecting you to kill me. That's fine. I'll do it. Boop, boop, boop. And he runs away.
That's funny, because when I'm just like, I don't know, the leadership will take care of, we'll figure out what to do with you. He's also kind of like, oh, all right, whatever. Like, just like, yeah. I mean, you tried to kill, I also took an approach where I was like, yeah, that sucks. I agree that sucks. You also just tried to kill a bunch of people here now today, currently.
Yeah,
so like, I can't.
Eye for an eye is what you're doing.
I can't really, like, split hairs with you about this. I also wasn't here for that part. I am here for this part where you just tried to...
It's like, hey, I appreciate that this rebellion happened. You're on my ship where the rebellion didn't happen. We have no part in this. Get off my fucking ship,
get
please.
Out of here. So there's that. I also investigated... the Pfeiffer, Zanghi, Pythias, and one other system that I forgot.
Oh, fun.
The name of. But I did. Okay. So I want to talk about this.
Okay.
The planet scanning in this game.
Yeah.
Is very fun. I like it. I'm into
it. Oh, okay. Interesting. Sure.
But, well, I liked it in the previous game too. So
it's very different to the previous games.
Though. It's very different. it's less, there's less urgency
mini
to it because no one's chasing you. One.
Sure. There's also less mini game to it. You're kind of just going to a planet. And
there
then
are
if you look at the planet,
anomalies detected. The ratio of anomalies detected to you just scan the planet and that's the end is way lower.
There
in this
is
game.
A fun little animation when you fly to a different planet, though.
There is. So, first time that happened, I went, wow, that's really beautiful. I think that will get really old, really
Literally immediately. I think I'll be so fucking bored of this.
And then the next time I did it, I noticed that there was an X option at the bottom to skip the animation.
Yeah.
I have scanned four different full systems. I've not skipped once. I actually love it.
That's actually so interesting because I agree with your initial thing where it's, I did it once. I was like, wow, that's so fun. That's going to get boring. I skip every single time I physically can.
I immediately thought that I would. I immediately clocked, this is far too long an animation. It's beautifully done. I'm so proud of them. It is so long. And then every time it happens, I go, yeah, but they, look at what they've done. And
look
I just
how
like,
cool this is.
And I just can't help That's but so watch fun. It every single time. Yeah.
This is in your ship. Yeah. Your ship is called
The
Tempest.
Oh, yes, we get a ship, The Tempest.
We get a ship, The Tempest. I'm going to say this. It looks sick as fuck.
It's.
I love the look at The Tempest. I think it's so cool. We get a new companion.
Yeah.
Whose name is Vetra.
Vetra. Turian. Hot lady.
Hot, like, very smooth, kind of con man-y. Turian, who I fuck with like crazy.
Very much a soldier.
Very much a soldier. Well, because they're a Turian, so of course they're going
to
be.
Yeah, but that's their mindset, you know, very much like straight to bit. Not a judgment call, just sort of like that's what
interesting.
Their personality is.
Yes, personality, but a lot of the things that they do is not that. Yeah. For example, when you start an outpost, you can either make a military or a science outpost, and you can ask your companions, and she's like, make it a science, we don't need more military stuff.
She questioned me on that. She told me that was a bad idea.
Genuinely fascinating. Yeah, that didn't happen.
Okay, hold on. You know what? We have to put a pin in that because we have to get there because
we
I
do
have
need
more
to get
say
there.
About that.
We have a new pilot called Callow.
Yes.
I like him. Different
Who?
Enough for Callow.
Oh, Callow, yeah.
Callow. Different enough from Joker.
Yeah, another Solarian.
And I think. This is true. I think that they did need to make a pretty big change, and they made someone still very enthusiastic about flying.
Not horny about flying,
but more nerdy about engineering, which I thought was a cool take on a pilot. Because they were like, oh yeah, I kind of built this thing. Like, these were a lot of my blueprints. I'm really excited to see how she flies.
Yeah.
Like, cool. But not like, man, I wish this ship was a human so I could
so
fuck
I could
it.
Stick my fucking dick in it. Yeah. No, yeah. I appreciate that. In your like partner cockpit seat, so you have Callow, your pilot, and then you have Dr. Suvi Anwar.
Yep.
Who I started talking to, and I was like, you know what? I know that I have my eye on several aliens, but she is so goddamn cute. I'm gonna go for it. And I am talking to Suvi a bunch. And then Suvi tells me that she is religious. And I wrote down, oh no, Suvi is religious. because I just can't reconcile that with this rider that I'm playing.
You don't think a military character would also be religious?
No, I think that she, because she's not just a military character, she is like a her father is like a science like pursuit of science at all costs, and like that's the kind of soldier. They're not like military frontlines family. They're bad
the
military,
career military.
But like it's like, okay, hold on. Let me try to Because I'm picturing like the difference between like NASA scientists and like,
yeah,
and like, what is the, I don't know. You know what? My logic might not be sound.
No, it's fine. It's different. You're saying it's different. I think I do like about it is that Suvi is the Tempest science officer. I didn't know she was religious. I didn't talk to her. Is also exclusively a lesbian, yes, which I also think is really fun. I think that's a good three complicated character combo.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
And I like it.
I do like her a lot. She's really interesting. I think the thing with my character is that, like, is the way that I interpreted that conversation was just like sort of the approach to atheism and what, like, what I like to call the cage stage, which is like when somebody's idealism or ideology is like so full of like indoctrination that they are like rabid about it. And I just feel feel like, because my writer is like so assured of what she knows and what she was raised to know and what her pathway was, and that like this kind of like we did this attitude that like we do this, we're responsible, and like she's not wrong but she is an asshole about it kind of a thing. And like the existence of this person that's just like, yeah, all this was meant to happen is just like, no, I just don't. I don't see it working.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I like that. Interesting.
Yeah. Hey, campers. Have you heard of season 5 of 5 GMs in a Trench Coat from Inside the Tent? You haven't? Well, let us tell you about it.
A nice, green, natural regional park. This is Hidden Falls Regional Park. For our purposes in our world, it's a bit larger than it actually is. It is the summer of 1983, and it is all of your first time getting to stay at Hidden Falls.
We promise it's going to be a great time. It's going to be a story of three childhood friends going across the Americas in 1987 using Kids on Bikes 2nd edition. So grab a blanket, make some coffee. The first 3 episodes are available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
I, and this is very much to my discredit, I think because I've been ill, I was so fidgety during this segment that I did the missions on the Nexus, and then I didn't speak to anyone on the Tempest. I built a gun and I was like, let's just get planet side. I didn't explore that much at all. So, I have yet to really meet her.
Sure. Yeah. I did speak to everybody. I had a beer down in the lower level of the ship with Liam. Cute. Got to know Liam a bit better. Liam was part of a disaster relief unit of the army called Hustle. Very funny.
Crazy. I like that.
Very funny. I really like Liam. Liam has like an interesting thing. He has that kind of like, he is like this military born and raised character, but with like a kind of in his backstory, he was kind of unsatisfied with the military unit he was initially assigned, and so he got himself into this disaster relief program. Sure. So like he was always looking for something more than just being a grunt on the ground, like doing something different. And so this was the natural progression of that for him, was finding people, new places to live was like the next part of that. So He's interesting, I thought. All right. I think I have more to say, but like, let's, I think, oh, this is very frustrating, but I'll ask you. We go down to Eos to the first attempt at a site which failed.
Yes.
We go down there. The remnants of the site are there. So there's like, you know, there's equipment and like buildings and stuff that they placed down there. It just didn't work out because the
radiation of the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Radiation of the planet is really high. The environment's really inhospitable. Like, there's like constant sandstorms. And then the Ket are also there. And it's like, it just doesn't work. We can't grow crops because everything's a fucking desert.
Yeah.
And there's just too much radiation, like, in the soil that it just can't, we just can't make this work. Yeah.
Yeah. So we jump down there. We go and start investigating. Well, we first investigate the site. We kill a bunch of Ket because this is a video game. And then we investigate. We find clues. We, like, kind of directing us to this site of interest or whatever. We find a vehicle. We're driving again. I'm driving again, and I'm doing it, and I'm not complaining about it. It's fine.
So this is where the open world section of this game really comes into it, because this is a fucking massive map. And you kind of need a vehicle
you
to travel in.
You have to. I did try to hoof it one place, and I paid the piper about it.
Oh my god, you
have
to grow up.
Yeah.
It's driving a car. It's push up on the stick, and your car drives. It's the easiest job in the world.
Okay. Look.
Okay. Complaining about cars in every game. Push up.
It's okay. The cars don't drive well in any fucking video game ever. They don't drive well. They don't follow commands. Yeah, you push up on that stick, fine, sure, you do that. And then when your car is suddenly just fucking topsy-turvying and flipping over itself and getting caught between two, it's just, and it's also, there's just like cliffs and stuff. And someone might have flipped the Nomad over a cliff into site two, where we go later.
Well, there
because
you go.
I couldn't find a way down. That wasn't because I missed. I was just like, I can't figure out another way down from this cliffside. It's like I'm on this cliff and like I see site two. It's right there. So I just drove the Nomad over the cliff, and then about a foot from the bottom, I hit the little jet, and then...
There you go, you're driving, baby. Perfect. That's what it is.
Sure. Sure. Anyway, I'm driving in this game. We drive to this site. There's an interesting thing that we discover. There is this tech there. There are these bots now that we're also encountering that are like here to
these
defend
things
the site.
Called the remnants. The tech that we found on Habitat 7 was remnant tech. It was all remnant stuff.
Yeah.
Another like hyper powerful AI race from what it seems.
Yep.
We do a little Sudoku puzzle.
I was gonna say that. This is the first time I've liked a puzzle in a video game.
Because it's Sudoku?
Because it's Sudoku. And that's all it is. It's great.
It literally is. It's fun as well because you have a little marker at the bottom, which you can just force the puzzle. You can like it's like a random chance roll just to like, just to, that's it. It's expensive. It's not a random chance roll. To just like be like, I want to be done with this. Just get it done. Which I do think is fun. And then you do this remnant thing. And then you find the world's most quirky little chungus of a character.
PB.
PB.
PB, she's
hey,
real.
Hey, did you like Liara Tassoni? Imagine if she was 10 years old.
And you have PB.
It was one of the original people who came. Oh, no, it was one of the originals that came down onto the planet with the original, like, attempt. And then got so into Remnant tech that she's kind of made it her whole personality to figure out what Remnant tech is. Remnant is just the it's just the Prothean of this game.
Exactly.
She's literally Liara Tassoni.
And we have someone who's obsessed with it,
but she's so like quirky and like and being more of a manic pixie dream girl, and I cannot stand her.
She's rough. It's rough. Now, okay, can you help me remember what this is? My notes are bad here, but I remember it being a big moment. During when you meet PB for the first time.
Yeah.
At the glyph site. Because there's also a thing where, like, you have to find glyphs. You have a cool thing where Sam can be your scanner, scan items around you. I also really like this element of the game because it's a thing where you can just scan tech and all over the place.
You
and
get little lore get things with everything
rewards
you can
and
scan
knowledge
stuff
and stuff. But in plot moments, you can use it to both unlock memories of like things left behind, and you can also do it to decode like messages and tech and stuff like that. So you do it with glyphs. And the glyphs help you. When you unlock the glyphs, then you can solve these puzzles. So anyway, at the glyph site, we get our very first reaction, like timed reaction choice.
Yes.
And I don't remember what it was. My stupid ass wrote first reaction option. I was not paying attention. Because I had not considered nothing like that had happened in the game so far. But I remember that I was happy I didn't choose it, but I don't remember what it was.
I think this one is, oh, it's, I think, is this not the one where she lands on you? You've just met.
Yes!
They do, like, the anime, she, like, falls into you, and you can either push her off of you as she's trying to, like, excitedly explain all this Remnant stuff, or you can just sit there and hear her out.
Yeah, and I pushed her off because the reaction was to hear her out, I think.
Yes, I believe so, yeah. I heard her out, obviously.
Yeah.
Because that's what my guy would do, is just be like, well, I'm here now. She is not an official companion yet. She is an NPC companion where she just kind of pops up where she likes, partakes a little bit, and then goes back. Who was your team for this, by the way?
My team for Liam almost, and Vetra? Yeah, for almost all, I think my very first dip down was Cora and Liam, and I hated Cora so much that I switched to Vetra
That is so funny. Mine was also Cora Liam, but not because I didn't switch it because I hated him. I accidentally clicked confirm on both of them, and I was like, wait, isn't Vetra on my team? And then I went back into the ship, and then I switched Cora out for Vetra. Yeah. I like Liam. I think he's cool.
I like
he's
Liam
an
a lot.
Interesting guy. He's a fun he's guy really to be cool. around. I'm not a Cora stan at the minute, but I guess we'll find out. I guess I'll put her in.
She's
into the game.
Just recently opened up to me as of my
as a racist.
Little... yeah. But also about her history, which I'll get into more. We find these remnant outposts, these like sites of text with these things. We know that there
and
are
and we find
a
that they're
more.
Like pointing to a specific place.
Yeah.
So we light a bunch of them up, destroying all the remnants, killing Ket when they turn up and come down. end up pointing this one central area.
Which is in the middle of like a dried lake, and we go in there, and then that one has a grav field that opens up, and we get our second reaction, which I did take, which was like basically like the floor opens up and it's like a drop down for ages and ages. And when we drop a rock down it, we see that the rock like kind of slowly descends, like there's a grav field in there. Yeah. And then everybody starts to like debate it. And I got a reaction to jump, to just jump before everybody decides. And I did it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'll let you know how it goes. And I jumped down. This whole thing is an interesting little adventure. So we're going through this, like, this old kind of relic of a place. It's got cool tech stuff where, like, when you interact with it, it opens up, like, new pathways and bridges and stuff. You're fighting remnants along the way.
You're going, like, deeper and deeper and deeper, deeper. Underground. But not by, like, oh, you're walking downstairs. Like, you're going hundreds of miles down at a time.
Yeah. And then when you... and basically, like, this is like a thing where it's like, okay, this is to basically what we figured out is to unlock the terraforming that these sites already have built within
them.
That's
what these remnants are. Yeah.
These remnants have been able to do this, but it's been inactive, and it's clearly guarded against and there are like blockades against doing it. So we want to obviously start terraforming this planet because that was the whole fucking reason we came here. So we go down deeper to do it. And this is like, this part was frustrating to me because this was almost really cool. It just like, I feel like, okay, this is going to be maybe a controversial thought, and this is going to be my first, like, big thought of this game.
Okay.
This is a game that has copied or... Wait.
Oh?
I'm right about this. Hold on. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, I knew this, but I just had a fear.
You needed it confirmed.
I had a fear of I get you. Coming for me. So this is a game that I feel had, in a way that like all of the Mass Effect and Dragon Age games have borrowed from each other, this is a game that directly took so much from Dragon Age Inquisition, but with about half of the writing team.
It's actually, and it's so stunning that you say this. Please finish your point so I can state mine.
So this adventure that we go on, this is almost verbatim that last, like, kind of adventure that you're going through in Inquisition, the DLC, where you're in, like,
the Descent.
Not in the Descent. The one where you're in the caves and they're flooding. And you have to, like, flee out of the caves and stuff. Because what happens is in this, once you get to the thing and you trigger it and you get the terraforming turned back on, you get everything turned back on, a, like, emergency, like, poison cloud, essentially, like a trap triggers. And it starts to fill the entire area.
Sorry, it's Jaws of Hakon, is it?
Jaws of Hakon. That's the one.
Yeah, there we go.
And so you have to run out and beat it out. And it is the least climactic I've ever felt about a timed mission in my life. I've never felt less urgent about anything. You run and there's nothing that is indicating to me that we are actually in any kind of danger. You just kind of run out and it's just like, and then when you get to the end, like, it seems like something dramatic's gonna happen, like flashback to Mass Effect 3 when I thought that oh my god, my Krogan son Rex,
Grunt,
when I thought Grunt was gonna die out of that, and then he didn't. Huge, like, huge dramatic relief. This is, we've got PB running after us, and it like almost seems like it's going to be dramatic, but then it's just simply not. It just stops. It just kind of ends. And then we just get to kind of finish our business there. And we're just kind of like, oh, I guess that was sort of like just an emergency trap. But it was just sort of like this.
It's just kind
almost
of, yeah.
felt like it a dramatic cool. moment. And yeah. it just wasn't. Yeah.
So.
Please.
This is kind of how I felt this entire game. I'm not passing judgment on it. I have had a decent chunk of fun with this. You saying this feels a little like Dragon Age Inquisition, but with half the writing team. Dragon Age Inquisition isn't my favorite Dragon Age. I didn't like almost any of the open world stuff, even though I did a bunch of it. This is like if they did Dragon Age's Inquisition, if they took Dragon Age Inquisition, like people love this. What did they love about it? They loved the open world element. And they just kind of did that. That's the part they liked. And I'm like genuinely so bored for most of this game.
Yeah.
There are bits of combat where I'm having fun, but I'm having fun because my guy is cool and I'm doing cool sniper trick shots. And that's like kind of it.
Yeah.
I like a lot. I like a decent chunk of the characters. I think the game so far is at its most interesting when it is interacting with the world of Mass Effect.
Yes.
Which I know is a weird thing to say, but
no,
like,
I agree.
Because it's trying to also be separate, and that I do give it credit for. I do think a lot of this, the stuff that they're adding on, is like fairly interesting. I really like the Ket. I really love that first scene that we get of them when they try to copy our dad. Yeah. That's really fun. Mm-hmm. I hate Remnant so deeply. I think this dungeon is pretty dog shit boring. I'm going from A to B and shooting guys, and there's nothing interesting for me to like play with.
I can feel that I'm supposed to feel like it's dramatic, but it's just nothing about what's happening was actually dramatic.
A big thing for me is like, whoa, there's an ancient AI sentient civilization. Yeah, we've done that. We've done a whole trilogy on it. I don't want to do this again. Just like, and it's like, I like the fact that there's clearly two different, there's the Ket and then us clashing in the middle, trying to terraform this like planets at the same time because we both need it and both of us are running out of supplies. That is where I assume this game is going.
That is what it seems like, yeah.
The Ket is also running away from something and trying to colonize this planet. And we're kind of doing a first contact. It's pretty fun. I like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Give me more of that. All of the build-up to do just another kind of Prothean dungeon is like, it's just so fucking boring to me. I really don't care about the remnants at all. I genuinely got pissed off when PB was a quirky Liara Tassoni just again.
Yeah.
Because it's also weird, right? It's us. We are not in charge. We're a little in charge. We're not in charge. The person in charge dies. We then get put in big charge. We have two human companions. We get a Turian companion first, who's a bit of a mercenary kind of hard ass.
I know.
But who's also really charming. And then we get an Asari who's like obsessed with this old tech. And it's like, this is Mass Effect 1. Yeah. Oh, also, there's a Krogan. Who we also find here.
Yeah.
And it's like, and the Krogan is like, is tough and gruff, and we meet killing a bunch of these remnants / Ket, and it's like, this is just Mass Effect 1. We're just doing Mass Effect 1 again. We're doing the worst bit of the Mass Effect trilogy again. Stop.
Yeah,
I know. Like, there's so many interesting things that not only is in this world, but that you've set up in this game. Like, all of the shit on the Nexus is awesome. There has been two rebellions in like fucking 14 years or whatever. a bunch of murders. No one trusts each other. There's so much politics going on. And I'm like, great.
Yes,
I love this
I'm
ship.
Having a lot and then more we, fun on the ships. Yeah.
And then we drop down on planet and it's like, hey, do you know that there's this alien race who are against you? And there's also this ancient tech thing. And it's like, I don't care about any.
Yeah,
of that.
Obviously.
I care about
is.
Their
of
shit back.
Of course there is.
Of course there is.
Of course
let
there
me
is.
Have, like, I don't know. It's like, let more interesting stuff be happening. Let us be 400 years late. This is Ket technology that we're like morally, like grayingly taking from them so we can terraform the planet. And let us fight rebels or like ex-rebels or have conversations with them or meet them or whatever.
Right.
I don't know.
Like there are so many things that you've set up that could be more interesting
that
than
this. That
could
be more interesting
but
than this.
This was, it's so funny because I have so, I will tell you, I have 3 pages of notes about talking to people on the Nexus, doing side quests on the Nexus, about talking to people on what's our ship again?
Tempest.
The Tempest. And all of that. Like I have 3 pages of notes about that. I have like 3 lines of notes about the actual like
about
main quest
the main
of
plot.
What we did this week
where
nothing, I'm just
it's
sort of like
so boring
eh, whatever
yeah and I'm literally the same my notes I've got admittedly my these are small pages and I write really big 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 I have 9 pages of notes. 7 of them are two of them are the main mission when we land on Eos.
But
everything
do you know, like, what this is? Like, when we're on the ships, like, when we're on the ships and we're doing those quests, there are some things. So, like, I am telling you, like, this is the borrowing from Dragon Age has gone from, like, a kind of homage to a, like, this is, we're trying to make Mass Effect more like Dragon Age some ways I like. I like that the dialogue wheel has more than just a good, bad, or questions. I like that it's like evil, you know, like it's not just evil, good, and questions.
I actually really like they've completely abandoned the Paragon Renegade thing because that was always bad.
Yeah, there's more nuance to your character creation and your character choices, and I like that. That's good. And when you're dealing with people in the outposts, which also at the end of that, you do get to terraform this area. You do get to make the sites 1 and 2 viable again. And then you do get to establish an outpost.
A big outpost.
And you get to make the decision, as Robin said earlier. Did you make it scientific?
I made it science, yeah. Science, yeah.
I only made it scientific. My character would have made it militaristic, but as I said, I had Vetra and Liam, and they, when I asked for their opinions, both of them said that this has to be scientific.
Yeah. Both of them said that it has to be scientific. Yeah. I think we might have got wires crossed when we were talking about Vetra.
I think so. I think so. Yeah. Yes. Now I'm realizing I did. I'm trying to remember who chastised me. Someone chastised me. Maybe it's multiple people chastised me when I got back. Yeah. But yeah, they both said it has to be scientific. And so then I made it scientific. Also, big thing, before we go touchdown, I want to rewind. Before we touch down on Eos for the first time, I had done a lot of talking to people on the ship. And a lot of people talked about my father, and I had established in my head that this character really just cares about the job, but has a soft spot for her father and her brother.
Yeah.
All these people kept saying how much they were inspired by her father and how like they do this job because of her father. And so this moment came where she's been kind of cold to people. She's been taking like all of the very direct scientific answers to things, the like, this is what we have to do. This is the path forward, et cetera. There comes a point where she has the option to like give a speech beforehand, and you have the like 2 options between like the one that has some heart to it or the one that is more like direct.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think at this point she would like maybe not Maybe not because she believes in it or feels it, but because all of these people have told her how important it was that her father inspired them. She's going to try to muster up like a real speech. And so I chose the heart action for this speech, and she delivers nothing. And I think that's so funny in that it is bad writing for the game, but was accidentally
good writing
great
for the character.
For my personal character,
yeah,
who tried to give her very first inspirational speech and just flopped
and just
like
fucked
crazy.
It up. That's so funny. Yeah. That is really funny. I had the same thought where, you know, I picked the emotional and I was like, wow, that speech sucked.
Shepherd gave a speech.
Hey, listen, say what you will about her, she gives a fucking speech.
She gives a fucking speech.
She gives about 15 of them a game. A speech. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, it's not that I'm not liking the game, but there was a lot of stuff where I was like, this is weak. This is weak and not great. And it's the first mission of this game. There is so much left. There's a lot of characters to find all this stuff, and I'm sure it will be okay. And I'm sure a lot of it will surprise me, but this first mission, and I loved the tutorial. The tutorial mission I thought was great.
Oh yeah,
this
I did
mission
like that
I
too.
Thought was pretty rough. But I also don't like open world stuff unless it's fun to travel in, and it's not fun to travel in this. But I don't like open world stuff, so that always throws me off of a like I prefer again. Say what you will about Dragon Age. Dragon Age knows how to do a mission. Like a quest, a contained storyline is where Dragon Age excels.
Right.
And it is something that I do not think that Mass Effect has been able to pull off kind of.
With the exception of Mass Effect 1's ending missions, Mass Effect 2's ending mission.
Sure. Mass Effect 2's ending, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know what? Even so, because a thing which I loved about the Dragon Age is that, I mean, again, think of the elf werewolf thing. It really has nothing to do with the overarching story of Origins. It's truly just like you just go and you just experience a cool quest
that tells you so much about the world and makes you feel like you're a part of it.
And then it's done. Weirdly, I would go so far as to say, similar to Wicked Eyes, Wicked Hearts, where it's like, this is barely anything to do with the rest. Like, it's big Inquisition stuff, and that is very important, and it's the Empress and all that, and that is very important. But it's so separate
from everything else that you do.
Doing something completely different to everything else that you do in the game, and it's like, that is what's special about it. And that is a thing that Mass Effect just doesn't do, with the exception of the Citadel DLC, which is perfect. Because the Citadel DLC is like, you are on rails. You can't do anything else outside of this DLC, so we are going to curate everything to make it good.
And then it's the best bit.
The best bit. But it's a thing where it's like, the second I realized that this was open world, I was like, oh, this mission's going to be bad, huh? It's going to be an absolute nothing. I liked the revelation of the fact that these were all here to terraform planets. It makes it interesting, like, why is this here to terraform planets? I like the fact that the Ket is also after this, because then it's like, we're both good guys in our own stories.
Yes. I hope that is where this is headed.
Because the tutorial sets up that with the fact that they don't shoot you immediately when they see you. They're just like talking at you aggressively because you've just crash landed on their planet. Yeah. But clearly they're also looking for a way to terraform stuff. Which again leads me to believe that it's like they're from a different galaxy coming in, and we're both kind of pincering in on Andromeda, being fooled by whatever has fooled us to come here. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's kind of mid so far. I don't hate it. I want everyone to know that this is no Veil Guard.
So I was trying to explain this to Viddy, where I was like, okay. So like Inquisition barely got made. Like, Like, the creators of Inquisition fought to finish it before BioWare started gutting everything. Like BioWare made it through, and literally there is a heartfelt, like letter to the fandom at the end from the writers because of how much, like, they fought to make this game happen. This is like that barely made it through. Andromeda had a big loss by the time this game came out. And then even more swaths of people were let go by the time Veilguard came out. So, like, and by that I mean the writing staff in particular, which is what these games are known for, is the writing of it all. You can feel some of the loss in the writing in terms of, like, the story overall, and then, like, just in some of the dialogue also, I feel like is just maybe a little, it's not like bad, it's not like terrible, it's certainly mm-hmm. not like, you know, Veilguard terrible, but it's like, I'm starting to feel the loss of wit.
Sure.
And like nuance and stuff like that.
I know that we talked about this briefly last week, of how ambient dialogue for the Pathfinder, for Ryder, is for you, even though you're playing a more military character, was still very jokey.
It's very jokey kept still. Up? Yes. It's very quirky, jokey. It's like there's no...
I was really hoping that it would
It's not a Dragon Age 2. No. It's my ambient dialogue is still like I'm very happy-go-lucky, cheery, love everybody no matter what my choices are otherwise.
Yeah.
Which, whatever. I can get over that. One other last thing to mention before we talk about next week and stuff, little things, is we also, it's Drac, the Krogan that we met. That we meet at the outpost. He seems fine. Don't know him that much yet. Cora's thing is that she is a biotic that is apparently so biotic that she was like outcasted from human society. That's why she became
an Asari commander.
Asari, yeah. She got accepted by the Asari because her biotics were so extreme that it scared humans. Sure. And that's what she could do.
Sure.
And then eventually
have Jack.
Yeah. And then eventually her Asari commander abandoned her, and that's how she ends up back with us.
Okay, sure.
Other things.
Sure.
Yes. Suvi told me that the reason that we were able to find Andromeda in the first place was that we used Geth technology to find Andromeda. We could not see these planets without I think it was like a 600 year delay or something. Sure. Like crazy like that. It was like on our technology, there was no way to, like, possibly predict what these planets would be like. So we used Geth technology to see them and find them. And that's how we could see Andromeda and see these planets within, like, a reasonable time frame that might
and
suggest.
This is, so this is between Mass Effect 2 and 3 is when we launched, which means that they must have started building these ships in probably at the end of Mass Effect 1, which means that they did not get those Geth ethically to join their team.
No.
Okay.
Nope. Also, some people on the ship tried to feed a virus to Sam. Some people on the Nexus tried to trick me, and I'm investigating that. That's open-ended because I need to go to another planet and another system to find out what's going on
there. Oh, that's
cool.
So that's
open-ended. I have no idea what's going on there.
I also, this is just a minor criticism. I know I'm being very critical about this game.
It's okay.
Also, my positive you know that I love has that. Been nuked a little bit. I don't like Sam. Not in terms of like, I don't trust Sam. I think Sam is a pretty boring AI because Edie was so good.
So dynamic and so
was so good and interesting. And then Sam kind of immediately is like, I'm sentient. And I was like, okay.
Do you know what the problem is?
I know.
Sam's not sentient because Sam's not horny. Sam is not a horny freak like Edie was. Sam is not. And that's why I know that Sam's not sentient.
And now we're talking real stuff. And now we're talking about reality and real stuff.
Yeah.
Edie really came into fruition when she said, I want to fuck that little man in that chair.
Edie said, I like it when you humans crawl around on the ground.
She said, I like to watch you crawl
in tight spaces. It does something to me.
Yeah. And then said, that was a joke. And it's like, okay, Edie.
And she was like,
now give me
a body. And so far, Sam has not said anything like that.
Fun. Have you been collecting your dad's memories? I've done one of them. I find it an annoying task, so I probably won't do that much of it.
I'm doing as much as I can. That is the thing that I will say. I am enjoying that this is a video game. And that is... I know...
We talked about this on the phone and I didn't... It's a video game. I admit, this is a video game.
This is a video game.
And I find it... It's, in a way... kind of refreshing to have a game that is like, this is a video game. You're gonna go, it's gonna be open world. You're gonna shoot guys, you're gonna pick stuff up. This is a video game.
Yeah.
I've done
everything on EOS. I did it all. I collected stuff.
I should have this week. I've been ill and I haven't done a huge amount and I should have really done it.
So I'm ready to go to the next place, which is exciting, which is exactly what I'm going to do right after this.
Nice.
So exciting. Yeah. So next week, Robin, do you know what we're doing for next week?
So next week, again, we're keeping it a little loosey-goosey. But we are going to do this is a long mission. We're going to do the AVP cryo deployment perks, which might not lead to anything because it might be a very short mission. But then after that, I believe what I want to do is a Trail of Hope 1. It's the first Trail of Hope mission. If that also ends up being short, we will then do the next one, which is helping Havaral's scientists, which is a it's like another, just like last week was Nexus Reunion First Strike, a Better Beginning. This is AVP, a Trail of Hope 1, and then helping Havaral's scientists. If we do a Trail of Hope and it's like, this is very long, we're just going to stop there. If we do Havaral Scientist and we're like, this isn't long enough, we're going to then do the next mission after that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I should say, there's a war table. More stuff. There's a war table in this.
Oh my God, there is a war
table. There's a war table where you send
your crew. I forgot about it. I clicked on it and I was like, that's crazy. Missions. It's like an uncharismatic war table. And then I laughed immediately.
I know, with no character to it. It's just sort of like assign people to do this thing and then you get a little reward.
Did I like the war table in Inquisition? No. Did I like the fact it had three of my best friends kind of sat around shooting the shit
who ended up being four of my
best friends? Yeah, it ruled. It was fun as hell.
Yeah.
This doesn't have that.
This also is so weird
because another thing, this is another misunderstanding. Should we do things that Inquisition did? Yeah. Should we take any of the things that are interesting about it? No.
Right.
The characters talking amongst each other. You're like advisors. That's the interesting bit. The fact that it's in areas you've been and lived in for three games, that's interesting. I don't give a fuck about Andromeda. Did you know there's a mission going on this planet? I haven't been there. I haven't played this game before. If it was back in the fucking primary, the Milky Way galaxy, if it was back in the Milky Way, I'd probably care about it. But obviously we can't contact that far and that's not where the missions are going. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Anyway.
It's tough. It's tough. It's some tough stuff.
It is tough.
I'm having fun and I'm going to go play more. And I'm hopefully optimistic for some good juice. And that's what
I'm at. Listen, I'm going to say this. I'm being a bummer.
You're allowed.
I don't not like the game.
You're also allowed to not like the
game. I know
game
I am.
If that's
I know
where
I
we
am.
Shake
know
out,
know
just by the way. Yeah. I now am having enough fun that I am able to laugh at the parts that I find
a little messy
and not good. But who knows where we'll end up with that.
Have you read in the room that you wake up in, kind of like originally at the beginning? Have you checked your emails?
I have. I've checked. Oh my, Robin, I've been playing this game today since 3 o'clock this morning. And that's not including when I played it high the other night with Kitty in bed. I have done everything. I've checked every email. I have many missions that I've accomplished via email. I've spoken to my brother via Sam. Sam connected our links in our brains, and I talked to my twin brother while he's in a coma. And I chose to lie about Dad being dead because I didn't want him to give up and die. In a coma.
That's crazy.
But it didn't seem to matter because he was like, Dad didn't care about me anyway. I was like, I don't know what to do.
That's fun.
Yeah, I've done everything. I've read every email. I've had many, many rounds of emails.
It's also fine. The thing I was thinking of doesn't happen till end game, so it's fine. Post end game. Post the end of the game, you have to read your emails.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
We'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
Do you remember?
I remember what is the first bit of it, cuz I know the end of it. I know Make no mistake. That's it. Okay.
And that is true. You fucking slugs. You stupid
disappointments.
Scum.
I honestly, we came here for what? For
literally
what?
For what?
And what are you doing to help is the thing.
You're not. You looked at Dragon Age Inquisition and you were like, what if we made this but slightly off kilter and worse? It was your decision to do that.
Yeah. But you know what? Unfortunately, we're
make
stuck
no
here
mistake.
Because make no mistake.
This is a one-way trip. Good.